I'm going to read again the words from Luke chapter 1 and verse 1, where one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Praying is not something we naturally know how to do. That's why the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. That's why all of us who struggle with prayer continues to come back to him, needing help, needing direction. That's why he has given this example of prayer. That's why he has entered the holy place with the sacrifice of his obedience. That's why he stands at the right hand of the Father, praying on our behalf. That's why the Holy Spirit himself also intercedes for us, conforming our prayers to the perfect will of God. Every time you pray, "Our Father," you are praying a relational prayer that is placing you in the holy presence of God. But you are also reminding yourself that this privilege of prayer is not a matter to be taken lightly. It cost our Lord everything and has given to us more than we ever deserve. Now let's look at that first word, "our." Have you ever noticed that all of the first-person pronouns in this prayer are plural? "Our Father," "our daily bread," "our debts," and "our debtors." "Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." Isn't that something? According to Jesus, prayer should always remind us that we are part of a larger family of believers. Even though we do most of our praying alone, we should continuously recognize that we live and function in a much larger box than our prayer closet. We may have a hard time thinking in these terms today, considering how insulated and individualistic our modern culture has become. But research has shown that even being allowed to recite the Lord's Prayer at all in the early church was a privilege reserved only for those who were fully recognized family members. At their first communion, following baptism, new believers were allowed for the first time to join in praying what was then known as the Disciples' Prayer, and only then were they instructed to pray it daily, a mark that identified them as part of the broader Christian family. This generation understood the concept of family. What does the idea of family mean today? It means that we should be praying for our Christian friends. Each of us know individuals at church, in our Sunday school class, in our neighborhood, who are experiencing difficult situations in life, marriage problems, health concerns, financial worries, job unrest. And we, as part of the family of Christian believers, should constantly pray one for another. This serves as two objectives. First, it enables us to care for other people, uniting with them and turning to God and God alone for help and healing, encouraging both and us to maintain a humble perspective that lets us submit not just to our dreams, but even our sufferings and to his divine plan. And second, it helps us take our minds off of ourselves for change. Among the most notable changes you'll see in your prayer life as you begin using this model prayer as a pattern is this. You'll find yourself praying about others' needs more and your own needs less, and yet finding your personal needs met more than ever before. It's simply part of what happens when you begin to think the way God thinks and seeking his kingdom above your own. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.